Today she is Masechta Chulin Daf Pei Gimel. We will begin on Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Loi Olam Bezach Hazeh. We had learned in our previous shir in the Mishnah a machlokes of the Rabbanan and Sumchus, where somebody had shechted a grandmother and a grandchild of an animal, and then after shechting those two animals, where there's no Isser involved in doing that, he shechted the middle generation, the daughter. The Rabbanan hold for that there's only one set of malchus given, whereas Sumchus holds that there's psychic shmoinim too. And as the Gemara began to explain the opinion of Sumchus and the Rabbanan hold that since there was only one act of Aveiro, so that's why there's only the sheet of this middle generation. So that's why there's only one Malkus. And Sumchus holds, since they're Gufim Mechawakim, we're talking about the Yisr because of the grandmother and the grandchild, there are two sets of Malkus. So the Gemara began to try to analyze how far do the Sumchus take his stringent opinion. Does Sumchus say this stringent opinion the Gemara suggested only in this case where it's Gufim Mechawakim, as we just explained, it's the grandmother and the granddaughter, but in the case where it's not Gufa Mechulakim, Sumchus will agree that when it's not Gufa Mechulakim, the example the Gemara gave was a situation where it was Achol Shnei Kizei Sechelev, if somebody ate two Kizei Sechelev Behelem Echad, then the halacha perhaps will be, even Sumchus will agree that he only gets one Malkus, or does Sumchus take his strict opinion even in the case of Ochel Shnei Kizesei Chelev Behelem Echad? And the Gemara attempts to answer this question, and it quotes a Braisa. The Braisa, which speaks about Gid Hanosha, and the Braisa, at least at this point, is saying that according to Yehuda, we're not quite certain what is the basis of which is the gid that's usher. Is it the right side or the left side? So the Braisa said if somebody ate two kizesim of two granoshes, so the Braisa quoted a machloik of the two sides. The Braisa said according to the Tanakhama you get two sets of malchus, and Yehuda says you only get one. So we're trying to understand what is the case of the Braisa. So because if it was, as the Braisa said, as the Gemara said in the previous year, that he ate them with two achilas and two halomis, two asros, then the Rabbanan's opinion is very understandable, but Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is difficult to understand, because why would he be chayiv anything? Each hasra is a hasra safik. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, the Gemara suggests, that hasra safik is not considered a valid hasra. Because of that question, the Gemara said it must be referring to a situation that he ate them both with in one achila, in one hasra, and the Tanakhama of the Braisa will represent the opinion of Sumchus. And Sumchus will indeed hold that Ochel Shtei Kizei Sechelev Behelem Echad Yechayiv Ochel Shtei Kizeisim Behelem Echad Yechayiv to Malkus. And that's where we begin. The Gemara says, well, it's referring to a situation with Zechazah, where he ate the two Kizeisim with two separate Hasros. And therefore, even the Rabbanan can very well agree that they get two sets of Malkus. But if so, as we said, how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? According to Rabbi Yehuda, he shouldn't get Malkus at all. Since we don't know, according to this price, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Gid HaNosha Yechayiv for, so every time you give him a Hasra, it should remain a Hasra Sofik. So it's Gemara, a high kind of Sogol Kana Ta'id of Tanah of Rabbi Yehuda. This Braisa, however, agrees with another opinion Rabbi Yehuda holds. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda actually holds Hasra Safik Shmei Hasra. And even though every hasra before each kazayis of gid that was eaten was a hasra sofik, because we don't know if that's the gid anosha the Torah prohibited, it's considered a valid hasra. The Tanya, what is the basis to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that hasra sofik shema hasra? Because the pasuk says regarding leaving over from the carbon pesach. The Torah says, "Was sirim men of a biker, by noisim men of the biker is disrupted." The Torah says one may not leave over from the carbon pesach, but if one does, he should burn. Says the Brisa, "Ba cost of leak and esa echalaisa say." Here the Torah turned this lav into a lav hanitik la say. If you left it over, burn it. Loim l'shein loik na lav de Rabbi Yehuda. So Yehuda explains. The reason why Malkus is not given to this person is because it's lav shem l'mayim. It's a lav hanitik l'asei. And as the Mefarshim explained, the reason one does not get Malkus by a lav hanitik l'asei is because the purpose of Malkus, and we've said this concept previously in our shurim, the purpose of the Malkus is to be, to correct, so to speak, the aveira that was done. The aveira to be corrected here, not through the administration of the Malkus, but rather the Aveira could be corrected here through burning the Noiser. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rav Yaakov gives another reason why there's no Malkus. Loiman Hashem, who said that's not the reason why there's no Malkus for Noiser, and we shouldn't have a Lav Shem B'Maisa. This is a Lav Shem B'Maisa, there's nothing done. The Noiser happens automatically. And the Torah uses the lab of Lysach some shor b'dishoy, one may not muzzle a shor, to be the model for where Malkus is administered. And just like that is a case where it was actually an act done, he muzzled the shor. Anytime where there's no act done, there are no Malkus. And as the Mefarshim point out, it's not to say that Rabbi Yoshia doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda that one also doesn't get Malkus for a lav hanitik lasei. But he holds, obviously, that that isn't enough of a reason not to give Malkus. You also have to come on to the point that it's a lav shem b'maisa. But the Mefarshim explained the Gemara. So what's the Gemara's point? The point of the Gemara, they say, is that what do we see from here? That the reason Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get Malkus for Noiser is because it's a lav hanitik lasei. But let's think about it. Every time somebody does noiser, it's also hasra sofik, because it doesn't become noiser until the night is over. And since it doesn't become noiser until the night is over, so the person can never get hasra, because it's, let's say, at the beginning of the night, and we tell them don't leave over, because if you're going to leave over, you'll be over nicer. He says it's still a half time. So why did Yehuda, explaining the Mefarshim and explaining the Gemara, say that the concern here is that the reason there's no Malkus is because of lav hanitik lasei? Why didn't he just say that the reason is because it's hasra sofik? Obviously, because Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to the concept that hasra sofik lo shma hasra. And therefore, that can't be the reason. So now we go back to this Braisa. The Braisa is speaking about the person that ate the two kazesim from the two gidim from the two sides of the animal. The Rabbanan hold Yechai for every gid, and he got two asras, and there were two separate achilus. So the opinion of the Rabbanan is very understood. Two separate achilus, two separate asras, two separate malchus. Rabbi Huda's opinion is that asras suffered shema asra. So yes, he's only going to get Malkus for one Achila, because as we're saying, Rabbi Yehuda holds you only get Malkus for one of the Gidim, and we don't know which one it is, the right side or the left side, and therefore we're concerned that every Hasra should be considered a Hasra Sofik. But here it's not considered a Hasra Sofik. The reason it's not considered a Hasra Sofik is the fact that it's a Hasra Sofik is not a concern to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara is still up to where it started. We need to try to understand how far does Simchas take his opinion regarding separate Malkus. So the Gemara begins with another Brice regarding Gidim. And this Brice, as the Rishonim explained, assumes that everybody agrees that you chayiv for the right gir hanosha, for the gir hanosha from the right side. And the Braise begins, Ocho, shnei gidim shtei rechis, shtei behemis, two gir hanoshas from two different sides of an animal, from two different animals. Side shmeinim, Tanakam says he did two averis, he gets two sets of malchus. If you do daima, and a sefik alaboyim, you only get one set of malchus. Ask the Gemara Hechidoni, exactly what is the case that this Braise is referring to? Ilein v'zachazer uv'shtei asros, that he ate two separate chizesim with two separate asros. So then we need to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. My time there, Rabbi Yehuda, got my boy Masulai. What did Rabbi Yehuda said that he only gets one set of malchus? He did two aveiros. El pshita, it must be talking about the bas achas of a chod asra. It's considered that he ate them all, the bas achas, with one asra. And that's where we have the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Now makes the Gemara's point. Man Tanakama. So who is the Tanakama that, given this set of circumstances, holds you only get one set of malchus? Feeling Rabban the Pligi Leib Sumchus, if it's the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, ask the Gemara. Uma Hosam, the Gufim Mechalokim. If in the case of our Mishnah, where it's Gufim Mechalokim, the case that we began at the beginning, mentioning at the beginning of the Shia today, the grandmother, granddaughter, and then the daughter. So the grandmother and the granddaughter are Gufim Mechalokim, Patri Rabbanan, they say you only get one set of malchus, Hochalai Kalshke. And as the Mefarshim explained, why is that more Gufim Mechalokim than here? So here also we're talking about Gidin from two separate animals. So the Mefarshim explained that the two Gidin may indeed be coming from two different animals, but the Isser has the exact same. Is the exact same Isser. The Isser of Gid Hanosha. Whereas over here, it's a grandmother and a granddaughter, and the grandmother and the granddaughter are considered different Isurim. So if in our Mishnah, where it's Gufim Chalakim, where we explained in our previous year, Gufim Chalakim based on the Gemara Masech Nida, is a reason to give separate Malchus. Rabbanim still hold you don't give separate Malchus. Hocha, where it's all from the Gid Hanosha, and the Mefarshim also explained, the Gid Hanosha of all animals is the same, still, certain Rabbanan will hold that you should only get one set of Malchus. Who must be the Tan of that Mishnah? It must be that the Tan of that Braisa is Sumchus. And we have a proof that Sumchus holds that not only by Gufim Mechulakim do you get separate Malchus, but even by not Gufim Mechulakim, you'll get separate malchus. Says the Gemara, it's talking about two separate achilas and two separate asros. But we asked if that's the case that the Mishnah, the Braise is referring to, the Kamed, my Kamed, Rabbi Yehuda. So then we didn't understand why would Rabbi Yehuda say that you only get one set of malchus. Answers the Gemara, regarding the less split his eyes. The way Rashi explains, it's referring a situation where one of the Gidin had a Shir Kazayas and the other Gid did not have a Shir Kazayas. And there's a machloikis if you're chayiv for eating Gid Anosha when it doesn't have a Kazayas. The Tanya, or whoever ate by Kazayas, if you ate from Gid Anosha Chas V'Shalom and it did not have the Shir Kazayas, chayiv. The Tanakama holds that it's considered a barrier and therefore you're chayiv. Yehudaimer, a Gid Anosha is not considered a barrier at Sheva Kazayis, and therefore you're only Chayiv for one. So the Gemara is referring to a situation where one of them had a Kazayis and the other one didn't, and that's the basis of their Machlokes. That's how Rashi explains. Other Rishonim explain that the case here was that both of them didn't have a Shir Kazayis, but if you mitzar, if you combine them, then you have a Shir Kazayis. So Yehuda that needs a kazayas says you'll only be chayiv one, because you ate both of them, you have a kazayas, and that's why you're chayiv. The Rabbanan, however, hold that you don't have to have a kazayas in order to be chayiv, and therefore the Rabbanan's opinion is that for each achila separately, even though each achila had in it only less than a kazayas, you still will be chayiv. Why? Because the machlokes is the Gid Anosha considered a barrier? And here too, there's a machloikis how to understand the Gemara. Some explain what the Gemara means to say is that you ate a Gir HaNasha, that the whole Gir, you ate the entire Gir HaNasha, but that entire Gir HaNasha wasn't as large as a Kazayas. And therefore, the question is, does the din of Beria apply? Many Mepharshim ever disagree, because they say that if somebody ate a whole Gir HaNasha, even though it doesn't have a Kazayas, everybody would agree that that falls into the category of a Beria, that you would be chayiv Malkus for. Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't dispute that. The situation here is that you only ate part of a Gir HaNasha, and that part that you ate wasn't the size of Kazayas. What would be the halacha? And they explain as follows. They say that the Rabbanan's opinion is that since the Gir HaNasha comes from something which is considered a barrier, it always is considered a barrier, and that's why you'll always be chayiv if you ate from the Gir HaNasha, no matter how much or how little you ate from the Gir HaNasha. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, either if you ate the entire Gir HaNasha, that's when you're chayiv, because it's obviously a barrier, or if you ate a kazayas of it. But just because the Gir HaNasha comes from a barrier doesn't mean that you're chayiv, no matter how little of the Gir HaNasha you ate. So the Gemara again didn't prove how far Sumchus takes his stringent opinion, and therefore, even though we've explained the basis for Sumchus' opinion in the Mishnah, we have not been able to understand how far Sumchus takes this opinion. Says the Mishnah, Bi'abra Prokim B'Shana, four times during the year, Hamarcha Behemel Chaveri, if somebody sells an animal to someone else, Sarach Leidiyai, he has to notify him, Ima Machati Lishvai, Bita Machati Lishvai, that I already sold the mother or the child, that there should be, and that you, the second customer, need to be concerned about Oisilis B'Nai. The Mepharshim point out, that why does the Mishnah use the wording Ba'abra Prokim? Usually the Mishnah uses the wording Ba'arva Zmanim. So Mepharshim explained, because it's only these four specific dates that are mentioned in the Mishnah, no other time has this halakha. So in order to avoid making a mistake that perhaps other times the same halakha applies, the Mishnah is very specific in saying Ba'arva Prokim, these four times, no other times. Another chat that I saw is that the Mishnah, as we're going to learn in a moment, is speaking during four Erev Yontifs. But what will be the halacha if Erev Yontif is on Shabbos? So then, of course, you can't check animals on Shabbos, and the halacha would be that all the rules of the Mishnah would apply to the day before Shabbos, to the Friday before Yontif. And that's why the Mishnah specifically says, Prokim, it means these four times, because sometimes it could be that it came out on Shabbos, and the halacha would be a very, very different halacha. So the Mishnah says, during these four times, the seller has to notify the buyer that the animal that he bought, there's potential an issue of Elisav Espinosa. Here we have a very fundamental machloikis rishonim. What is the obligation regarding a seller, a buyer, regarding Oisav Espinoi? Many Rishonim take the opinion that only these four times during the year does the seller have to notify the buyer. Other times during the year, the seller doesn't have to notify the buyer, but the buyer does have the responsibility of checking himself if there's an issue of Oisav Espinoi. Other Rishonim, however, hold that only during these four times of the year is there a concern, because so many, as we'll see, there's so many animals being sold, and there's so much shechita taking place, that we need to be concerned about Oisav Espinoi. Under normal circumstances, certainly not the seller and even the buyer need not be concerned. And in fact, the Rajba, who takes this opinion, has a very nice proof to this. Because he says, if the halacha were indeed
that everybody who buys an animal has the obligation of checking, so then ask the Rajba, let's say you buy an animal from a goy, and we know that a goy has no nemanis. So how could you ever buy that animal? Why how can we trust him when he says that there is no concern of ois of espanoi? It must be because we don't really have to check. Those that disagree with the Rajba say that even though you have to check, even though the buyer must check, and even though the halacha, as we just said, is that a goy indeed does not have nemanis, but since there are so many sveikas involved during the year, and let's think about all the different sveikas. First of all, who says that they were both sold that day? And even if they were both sold that day, who says they were both going to be slaughtered that day? There isn't such a demand to have meat immediately all year. Given all of these factors, that's why the Paiskim say the buyer could buy from a goy and trust the goy if he says that he didn't or did sell the parent or the offspring. The other fundamental nafkamina between these four times that we're about to discuss and Yontif and any other time is regarding Bitl Mekach. That means that if the seller did not notify the buyer, and then the buyer ends up with an animal that he may not slaughter because of the concern of Isa v'Espanoi. So during these four times of the year, the sale becomes a mekatos, because we could safely assume the person only bought the meat with the intention to be able to shechta today, bought the animal with the intention to be able to shechta today, and if he can't shechta today, he doesn't need it. The rest of the year, he doesn't have such a claim, because who says you have to shechta the animal today? You could shechta tomorrow. Or who says that you're buying it specifically for the purpose of eating? Maybe you're buying it for the purpose of using it for using it to work. Interestingly, lahalach lemaisa, the Paiskim say, and actually there are rayas to this opinion from our Mishnah. The Paiskim say we have to look at every situation individually. If we see it's a situation where people are buying a lot of meat, and there's reason to be concerned that, because it's a time that people are buying, and there's reason to be concerned that both of them, the seller and the buyer, want to use that animal today, so then the buyer and the seller have the obligation of notifying each other of what's going on. Whereas the rest of the year, where those concerns really aren't there that much, then we could perhaps be a little more lenient. It says again the Mishnah, Ba'avah Prokim Shana, four times a year, Hamoicha Pe'im L'Chaveroi, somebody sells an animal to someone else, Sarach Lo'idiyoi, he has to notify him. Ina Mechati Lishchot, Biti Mechati Lishchot. Ve'elahim, what are the four times? Erev Yontav Achron Shachag, Erev Shmini Yetzeres. So the Mepharshim, of course, all point out that the Gemara, the Mishnah speaks about Erev Shmini Yetzeres, it doesn't speak about Erev Sukkis. And of course they all ask, why is Erev Sukkis not mentioned here? So the Pashup Shat is that the reason Erev Sukkis is not mentioned is because Erev Sukkis people are very busy getting ready for Yontif, the Sukkah and the Dalaminim, and therefore they weren't so busy with getting meat. On Erev Pesach, Erev Shmini Atzeres, where the Yontif is already in progress, then the halacha is they're more concerned with the meals that they're going to eat and the meat that they need to have. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that we know that Shmini Atzeres represents the Yontif of Simchas Torah, and the Yontif of Simchas Torah is a Yontif that we particularly celebrate with meat. Another pshat is that in Shmini Atzeres is a regel b'fnei atzmai, it's considered its own independent one-day yontif. Another pshat is because Shmini Atzeres, all of the kabbonis that one did not bring on yontif, he could make up on Shmini Atzeres. So there were a lot of animals slaughtered on Shmini Atzeres, and that's why the halacha is that on Shmini Atzeres, they shechted a lot. In fact, based on this halacha, the Mepharshim say a beautiful pshat. The pasuk says, "Shivus yom tokel of Hashem alakecha, b'makom hashivcha Hashem, v'yisa ach sameach." So the Gemara says, "What do we learn from the words v'yisa ach sameach?" We learn from the words v'yisa ach sameach l'rabbis lele achron to teach us that in Shmini Atzeres we also have to have Simchas Yomtov. So all the Mepharshim ask that the word ach usually means a miut; it comes to diminish. And he was saying that it's a ribui, that on Shmini Atzeres that we also have to have Simcha. How do we understand that? So Mepharshim explained very beautifully. Our Mishnah just said, Erev Sukkos we don't shech, Erev Shmini Atzeres we do shech. Shivus Yom Tochid. During the 7 days of Sukkos we should be the Simcha, but it's not the same level of Simcha Shmini Atzeres. So if the Torah says, V'yisa Ach Sameach, the Ach must be coming to be Marba, that in Shmini Atzeres we also have to have a high level of Simcha. Erev Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. Erev Pesach they shechted a lot of meat because they brought the Karban Pesach. Everybody had to participate in the Karban Pesach. Everybody had to participate in the Karban Chagiga. So there was much meat slaughtered. Erev Atzeres. Erev Shavuos. And in fact, the Mepharshim say, the Pesachim say, based on this Mishnah, two very important halakhas. One is from here we see that Erev Shavuos one should eat meat. Because we say actually that Shavuos, and as the Gemara says, Hakom Noidim, everybody's in agreement that Batzaris be the Lachem, then in Shavuos we have to be Besimcha, and being Besimcha in Shavuos means that we have to eat meat on Shavuos, so not just eat daily meals on Shavuos. Furthermore, from here we see that on Yontif one is obligated to eat meat. That's how we're Mekayim Simchas Yontif, and that's why in Erev Yontif they have so much meat slaughtered. There's a question amongst the Paiskim if you're only Mekayim Simchas Yontif through eating meat and drinking wine, or you can Mekayim Simchas Yontif by either or. Amishna clearly seems to indicate that you have to have meat. Erev Rosh Hashanah, and they used to shecht an Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Mepharshim explain why Erev Rosh Hashanah. They explain that either because we know on Rosh Hashanah they ate the simonim, and some of the simonim were made for meat. Another pshat that I saw, that even though Rosh Hashanah, as we know, is the Yom Hadin, but we want to show that we are confident that we will be successful in the Yom Hadin. And how do we show that confidence? The way we show that confidence is by eating meat. Ukadiva Yosef Glili, a quote of Yosef Glili, Af Erev Yom Kippur and Begolul. On Erev Yom Kippur and Begolul, they also shechted, they ate meat. Mepharshim explain why is Golul different than Yehuda. A number of explanations. One explanation that I saw is because in Golul, they ate meat on Erev Yom Kippur. In Yehuda and other places, they did not eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur, they only ate chicken. And therefore, it's a different situation. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is because in Yehuda, they had the minig of kaparis, and they used to eat the meat, the chicken or the fish that they did the kaparis with at the Sudan Erev Yom Kippur. In Golul, they didn't have the minig of doing kaparis with chicken or with fish. A third pshat that the Meshech Chachma suggests, interesting pshat, is that Yehuda was the area where Jews were particularly persecuted. And one of the things that the Goyim didn't want was that the Jews should have Yom Kippur. They knew what an important day Yom Kippur, the Yom HaKadosh, is. So they downplayed Yom Kippur, and they didn't make big meals on Erev Yom Kippur, not to get the Goyim noticing them. Amar Yehuda, says of Yehuda, Amosite. And there's an interesting machlokes rishonim. Many times the Gemara says that when Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah the word Amosite, it doesn't mean that he's coming to disagree. What he means is that he's coming to explain the opinion of Tanakama. And therefore many Mepharshim say that that is the case in our Mishnah as well, Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on the Tanna Kamma, he is explaining the Tanna Kamma. Others disagree, because they say that since afterwards in the line we'll have Moed Rabbi Yehuda, that's an indication that they disagree. Eimasai, Tzman She'en Lam Revach. Avnei Shleim Revach, Ein Tzarek Lo Yedidoi. So the way Rashi explains is as follows. That the discussion that we're having in our Mishnah, that the seller must notify the buyer, is only, says Rabbi Yehuda, if the seller sold both animals on the same day, Erev Yontif. But let's say one animal was sold 2 days before Yontif, and the other animal was sold Erev Yontif, then we need not be concerned, because we could safely assume that the person who bought the animal 2 days before Yontif shechted the animal 2 days before, and the person who shechted on and bought it Erev Yontif will shecht it Erev Yontif, and there won't be concern for Eisav Estimon. That's Rashi's pshat. The Rambam has a different pshat. He says we have to look what are the circumstances. If one animal was sold in the morning, and now it's the afternoon, and somebody comes running in to buy an animal, that's a pretty clear indication that the person wanted to come running in because he needs the animal immediately. And because he's going to need the animal immediately, we need to be concerned about Eisav Estimon. But if the person isn't showing that he's that desperate to shech the animal immediately, we could be more lenient and not be concerned about Eisav Estimon. Furthermore, the Mefarshim debate, the Rabbi Yehuda makes this distinction between Yeshlan Revach and Einlan Revach. Is it talking about all the Erev Yontifs or only on Erev Yom Kippur? The Ramban says that some Rishonim say it's talking about all the Erev Yontifs that the Mishnah mentioned. But the Ramban says that Rabbi Yehuda is only speaking about Erev Yom Kippur. Because on Erev Yom Kippur, everybody's shechting on Erev Yom Kippur, or right before Yontif. Because you can't shech the animals on Yom Kippur, and you need the meat for before Yom Kippur or for Matzah Yom Kippur. But by all other Yom Tovim, where even if you bought the animal on Erev Yontif, it doesn't mean that you're going to shech it on Erev Yontif, because as we know, and we'll discuss this, the halacha is you could shech during Yontif as well. That's why it's different than Erev Yom Kippur. Or Moed Rabbi Yehuda, however, it says Rabbi Yehuda, the Moiches Ein L'chasim Sabas L'Kala, there's a wedding taking place, and somebody sold an animal to the Chasim side and to the Kala side, so Tzarek Le'idiyai, the Yedua Sheshneim Shechem Yom Echad. They're buying these animals to slaughter for the wedding meal, and they're going to shech them the day of the wedding. Says the Mishnah, but one word of introduction. In the time of Chazal, they didn't just sell shech animals. What used to happen was that people used to say, I want to buy this much of an animal, and then they would shech the animal when they had enough customers. Says the Mishnah, B'av HaProkim Ha'eluf, Meshchitin Satavet Bav Karcha. The customer could force the butcher to sell, to shech the animal, even if he only owns a small part of the animal. And therefore, says the Mishnah, I feel a shor shava elef dinim, even if the shor is worth 1,000 dinim. They will take our dinner. The Lekeich only owns a dinner in this animal. He has the ability to force the Shaykh the Shech even just for his small share. But there's a downside to this. Since he has this full-fledged ownership, where something to happen to the animal before it's slaughtered, he has to take the loss. And the Gemara will explain this to Mr. Shech. The rest of the year, he doesn't have any ownership until it's actually slaughtered, or until he takes it. The Fika Chameis, if something happens to the animal before, at that point, it's not his loss, it's Meis L'Moicha, it's only the seller's loss. Says the Gemara, Tana, in Lo Hedia, if he wasn't informed, Hoylech Yishayich Ve'en Nimna. Even if the buyer doesn't know for sure, he could still shech. Why could he still shech? As the Mefarshim explained, because since there are so many fakers, there are so many questions about were both animals sold? Were both animals slaughtered? You could slaughter on Yontif. Maybe the animal was sold for the purpose of work, not for the purpose of slaughtering. That's why we could be lenient. And again, as I said when we learned the Mishnah, perhaps Bizman Hazel, we have to be more machmer, because Bizman Hazel, nobody's buying animals for work. And that takes up an important part of the equation. Honor you, the Amosai. So the Mishnah said that if it's the day of the Chasna, they have to inform the other side that the first side came to buy animal. So ask the Gemara, Lomli le Mishnah sa aim le Chasna le Sabas le Kala. As the Mepharshim explained the Gemara's question, the Mishnah wants to make the point, indeed, that if there's a wedding taking place, we have to notify both, and both sides come to the butcher, they have to be notified that the other side bought. But that could have been said without saying the detail as a aim lechosn as a bas mekala. Why did Mishnah have to mention that the chosn side is buying the larger animal? Answers the Gemara. Nilsa gavurcha kamashmalon. The aruch arur lemitra mechasn tfei bekalosa. The Mishnah is teaching us that the chosn side has to take on more expense in the wedding than the kala side. To the degree, as the Mepharshim explained, that this becomes the halacha, and if the chasm side doesn't do its share, the kal side has a right to take them to bintara, because the halacha is that they have to participate more in the wedding than the kala. Why? So I saw two explanations. One explanation is that in those days they had the men and the women in two separate locations for the wedding suda. And typically there were more men, and men ate more than women. And the chosin would make the men's meal, and the kala would make the women's meal. So they need more for the men's side than for the women's side. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says that it's inappropriate for a son-in-law to live in the home of his in-laws. So typically what happened was that the kala came to live by the chosin, where the chosin lived, by the chosin's family. And since she was coming to live there, that's where the wedding took place. The wedding took place in the place where the chassan lived. So since he was the one that was making the wedding, and it was in his location where he lived, therefore he had to pay and participate in the greatest share of the wedding expense. So we learned in the Mishnah Ba'ara Pratim Elu, during these four times, we learned that the halakha changes regarding the seller and the buyer in the ownership of the animal. Ask the Gemara, v'holei mashach. We know that somebody doesn't take ownership of something until he actually does mashicha. Our Mishnah, the buyer of this animal, didn't do mashicha yet. So how does he become an owner that he could demand that the seller should check? Answer the Gemara, amar funa merav, kishe mashach. The Mishnah is referring to a situation where mashicha took place. Ask the Gemara, and that's pshat in the Mishnah. Yochi, aim is safe, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The rest of the year, the rule is different. If it dies, it's the seller's loss. But ask the Gemara, if we're explaining that the Mishnah is talking about that if Mashiach took place, then he's already the owner, Vamashach. So why can't he force the seller? Answers the Gemara, the Mishnah is referring to the situation where Mashiach did not take place. Goy? He gave him ownership through somebody else. Baal Prokamela, during these four times of the year, where everybody's such in such need of for meat, this chusulay, zachalan shleivafanim. So somebody takes ownership in an animal on my behalf, even without my designating him, we could assume that it's still effective because I want meat. Even, as the Mepharshim explained, that there may be a downside that I'll take responsibility if something happens to the animal. The Shai Moshashana, the Chai Vilod, there's not such a need for meat, and meat is expensive, and unless I designated somebody, he can't take ownership from me. That's one terence. Rav Lezer and Rav Yochanan, a different terence. Bar Prok Malalu, Hemidu Chacham Devreim Al Din Torah. Chazal reverted to Din Daraisa, and the Gemara explained. Dom Rav Yochanan, Dvar Tarim Moz Kainis, Mid Daraisa, a kinyan could be affected just by paying cash. However, Chazal said it shouldn't be effective. Umatam Amru Mashiach Kona. Why did Chazal say that you have to do Mashiach? Gzeira Shema Yomelein Nisuf Chateich Beilula. If the halacha was that as soon as I paid with money, the item, whatever I bought became mine, Chazal were concerned. So let's say I bought something from you and I didn't take delivery of it yet. And now once I paid, and Chas V'Shalom is still in your warehouse,
and there's a fire in your warehouse where it is, you won't care. It's not yours anymore. So that's why Chazal said that it doesn't become mine until I do Mashiach, until I take it actually, and therefore you're protected, not thinking, because you know it's still yours. So the whole year, Chazal said, you have to have Mashiach. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. During these four times, where there's such a great need for meat, and Chazal said that as soon as I pay for my share of the meat, I become an owner in the meat, even though, as we've been learning, they all explain that there's a downside to it, there's a disadvantage to it in case something happens to the animal. I'm still in such great need for meat, and I'm so not concerned that something's going to happen to the animal, it's a remote concern, that Chazal went back to the din, the raisa. There's some parts going to suggest that it isn't only the halacha regarding meat in these four times, but any time a dvar mitzvah, something that's bought for a mitzvah, food for Shabbos, some place can even suggest, say the same halacha would apply, because I should be able to take ownership in these items that I'm such desire to have. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explained that over here, the person, the owner of the animal, anyway is going to protect the animal, because I only bought a small portion. Chazal say, it does make a difference. Under normal circumstances, Mashiach is required, and here Mashiach is not required. The Chassidish Sfarim say, Dvar Torah, if somebody learns Divrei Torah, Ma'as Kainas. He will be Zaycha, Ma'as Kainas, he will be Zaycha to Ashiris to be successful. Says the Mishnah, Yom Echad Omer Ba'isos B'Night, we're learning in our parrot, the Halakha Ba'isos B'Night, says the Mishnah, that how do we consider one day? Hayoyim Hoylach Achal Laila. What is considered a day? The day begins at night till the next day. For says the Mishnah, Zu Darash of Shem Mem Zoyma. Nemer Mas Bereshis Yom Echad. Torah Bereshis says the word Yom Echad. Nemer Mas Bereshis Beno Yom Echad. Here too Yom Echad is said. Ma Yom Echad Omer Mas Bereshis. Just like there, we know when the world was created was Hayoyim Hoylach Achal Laila. Af Yom Echad Omer Ba'isos B'Noi Hayoyim Hoylach Achal Laila. Tana Abonim. And the question that the Bryce is trying to address is, of course, we know that we always in halacha follow Hayoyim Hoylach Achal Laila. Why would we think here differently? Says the Bryce, Zu Darash of Shimon ben Zoyma, Lefi Shekola Nikula Enem Dava Bel Kachim. The parasha of Ba'isos B'Noi, as we said at the beginning of the parak, is found in the parasha of Kachim. And by Kachim, the halacha is Laila Hoylach Achal Hayoyim. Yochel Afzeh Kein. So the halacha should be Ba'isos B'Noi as well, the same way. Says the pasuk, so that's why Rav Shimon ben Zoyma says, Nemekan Yom Echad, the Nemek Mas Bereshis Yom Echad, Ma'am Yom Echad Amar Mas Bereshis Hayoyim Hoylach Achar HaLayla, Af Yom Echad Amar Ba'isos B'Noi Hayoyim Hoylach Achar HaLayla. Reb Yomer, Yom Echad, what do we learn from Yom Echad? Yom HaMiyuchad Toan Kruz. That these 4 days that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Kan Amru, Ba'avah Prak Mishana, those 4 days of the year, the halacha is Hamaych Behemel Kaver Tzarech Lahidia. There's another pshat that Rashi suggests, that just like by Shabbos requires kruz, that you should announce that Shabbos is coming, so too, you have to announce about Oysev Espanai. It's interesting to point out, some Sofer asks, why indeed is there a difference that in all areas of halacha we say Hayoyim Hoylach Acha Alayla? And by Kachim, Laila Hoylach Acha Hayoyim. So he explains that we know the reason why by Jews it's Hayoyim Hoylach Acha Alayla and by everyone else it's Laila Hoylach Acha Hayoyim, because it represents our attitude to this world. We believe that this world is not the main thing. The next world is the main place. That's why it's first Laila, this world, and then Yoyim, the next world. The Umas HaOlam have just the opposite attitude, and therefore by them it's Laila, first Yoyim, and then Laila. But says the Chassam Sofer, we know Yofesha Achas the Torah Masim Tovim BaOlam HaZeh Mikol Chai HaOlam HaBo. That if a person lives in this world as he's supposed to, learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, that this world is more important than the next world. What is that represented? By Kachim. By Kachim, a person who lives his life with Kedusha, by him the world is Yoyim and then Laila. And in fact, The Mefarshim explained, that's why we understand there's one other area in Halacha where Yoyim is Laila Hoylach Ach Yoyim. That's by Birchas HaTorah. The Halacha is, if you make Birchas HaTorah in the morning, you don't make a new Birchas HaTorah at night. You only make a new Birchas HaTorah the next morning. Laila Hoylach Ach Yoyim. With the words of the Chassam Sofer, it's very understood. Because the Chassam Sofer is teaching us that when we live our life of Torah, then it's Kodshim. And by Kodshim, the Halacha is Laila Hoylach Achar Hayoyim. Another beautiful pshat that I saw is that the Gemara gives two different explanations to the three tefillos that we daven every day. One explanation is tefillos keneged Ovis Tikkun. Another explanation is tefillos keneged Tamidim Tikkun. They correspond to the Kabbalists. So there are two questions. One question is obviously, what is the reason? Another question is, if we're saying that by us, Hayoyim Halach Acha Laila, and Avram Avinu was the one that made the first tefillah, then Avram Avinu should have made Meiros. That's the first tefillah that we daven every new day. Avram Avinu, we know, was the second tefillah Shachris, and Yitzchak Mincha, and Yaakov Meiros. The answer is exactly what we're saying. Tefillahs, Ovis Tikkun. The Ovis made the tefillahs, but they corresponded them to the Kabbonis. And by Kabbonis, Laila Hoylach Acha Yoyim. The day begins in the morning. Since the day begins in the morning, the first tefillah is Shachris, which was made by Avram Avinu. We begin now learning the parak Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach of Kisui Adam, that we're going to learn that if somebody shechts a chay of a oif or oif, he has to do Kisui Adam. And as we always say, we of course don't have to or do necessarily understand the reasoning of any mitzvah. But the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, already suggest reasoning for Kisui Adam. One is because we know, as the Torah says, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, the Nefesh is represented with the Dam, and that's why the Dam has to be treated with such great respect. Another explanation that I saw is that the Torah wants to teach us that we should take, you know, we should be careful and deliberate, and therefore, not as soon as we shecht an animal, should we immediately eat from the meat. We should slow down. First do Kisui Adam. And a third pshat that I saw is that Cain, when he killed Hevel, buried Hevel. Where did he learn to bury Hevel? Because he saw that animals, when they kill each other, were burying the other animal. So they saw the respect that animals have. From that, we have to respect the animals and do Kisui Adam as well. So according to these reasonings, why is Kisui Adam only by Chai V'Oif, not by behemoth? So the answer is, since kabbonis come from behemoth, and therefore, as we're going to learn, by kabbonis you would have issues of doing Kisui Adam, that's why the Torah excluded behemoth from the halacha of Kisui Adam. So says the Mishnah, Kisui Adam, noy ba'aretz b'chutz la'aretz. As we learned in the previous parak, there's really no chiddush in this thing. B'fnei ba'ez v'shloi b'fnei ba'ez v'chulon v'loi b'mukdoshim. Again, as we're going to learn, perhaps we would think it's only by kachim. That's what the Torah says. That's what the Mishnah says. It's only by chulin. Or it's only by chulin, not like the other kabbonis, not like some of the other halachas like oisves benoi that do apply by mukdashim. Benoi b'chay ba'oif. It's only by chay ba'oif. The mezumish and mezumim. Whether you have it or you don't have it. Rashi says there's no chiddush here. Tosfos says there is, because the Torah says by the parasha of kisa damashi yotzud that you caught, so you would think only if you caught it, not if you didn't catch it. The noy the koi, and also applies to that koi, because as we learned, the koi is a suffix if it's a behem of a chaya. Then shoknash of the yontif, but one may not slaughter a koi in yontif, because you're not allowed to do kisui adam, because it either involves so three pshatim. One pshat is the concern of muksa, another pshat is the concern of tircha, carrying the earth, if you're not supposed to do it, if you don't, it's a tircha. A third pshat is that people see that you're doing Kisui Adam on Yontif, they'll be sure that it must be because a Koy is a Chaya. And we know that the Chaylev of a Chaya is permitted, the Chaylev of a Behemah is also. So we're not allowed to eat the Chaylev of a Koy, because it may be a Behemah. But people may come to make a mistake since they see you doing it, that it's certainly a Chaya, and come Chas Hashem to eat the Chaylev. And if somebody does shechit of a Koy on Yontif, aim Chas and Estamin. The Kedoshim, my Tamaloy. Why is there no din of Kisui Adam by Kedoshim? Elam Shimon Rav Zeir, the Gemara suggests, because of what Rav Zeir said. Don Rav Zeir, when somebody does Kisei Dam, Tzorach Shiten, Ofer Lamata, Ofer Lamala. He has to put earth on the bottom and on top of the blood. Shinemar, because the Torah says, V'shachar Estoma, V'chiso Ba'ofer. In fact, the Nusach HaBrocha, when we make Kisei Dam, is L'chasis Adam Ba'ofer. Ofer Lo'y Nemar El Ba'ofer, on top and bottom. Melamed, Shashar Tzorach Shiten, Ofer Lamata, Ofer Lamala. That's to be earth on the bottom and on top of the blood. Ba'ofer Esher. And on the Mizbeach, that isn't a possibility, because it explains the Gemara. Heichu Levit, Leisev Levatle, to put earth there permanently, that you can't do, because Kamaisev Avinyan. You're making the Mizbeach different dimension than what it's supposed to be. The Ksiv and the Prophet said, Hakub Ksav Yad Hashem Alay Haskil, that's the exact dimensions that Hashem taught us. Loi Levatle, not to leave it there permanently, Kav Chatzitza, that'll be a Chatzitza between the blood and the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, fine. You can't do Kisei Dam, you can't put blood offer on the below the dam on the Mizbeach. Ned Lamatala Efsha. Lamala Efsha, but you can put blood on top, you can put earth on top of the blood on the Mizbeach. Levit Kisei, so why not do at least that much? For me, like Tanya, Rabbi Yonis, and Mayoisa Omer. Shaka Chaya. The son of Shechter Chaya Vakach, Shaka Behema, Potomul Chasis. Because the dam of the Behema is on top of the dam of the Chaya. And there would be no purpose in doing the kisu on top of the dam of the behema. But if you shech the behema on top of you have the blood of the chaya, chaya v'chasas. Even though you don't have earth on bottom, you still should do the earth on top. Answers the Gemara, Rav Zeir. Don Rav Zeir. We know Rav Zeir, the halacha is that the covered mincha ingredients should be mixed, the Torah says. But the halacha is if you don't mix them, it's acceptable. But let's say you bring shishim saw. You bring 60 sorin in one keli, then Rav Zeir says that it's not acceptable because it's too much to mix. Either mixing is not essential. Says Rav Zeir, kala roi labila. As long as it's mixable, ein bila makeves ba, kosh ein roi labila, but if it would be impossible to mix, bila makeves ba. Here too, indeed the halach is you could be yoyt to the mitzvah kisei dam, even if you didn't put earth below the blood. But that's only in a case where it was potentially possible. But since, as we just explained, on the Mizbeach, it's never possible because of the concern of Chatzitza or Maisef Avinyan, therefore, that without being able to do it, it becomes disqualified. It becomes a disqualified Kisui Hadam, and that's why by Kotshim there is no din of Kisui Hadam.